This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
It's that time of the year. We are officially at Christmas, where we're going to watch those movies with our favorite aviation and airport scenes in them.
Home Alone.
That, of course, was Home Alone, where the family are running towards the gate and boarding this amazing, great big American muscle of an aircraft. That's in Home Alone 1. Home Alone 2, of course, also super air travel focused, with him getting on the wrong plane and ended up in New York. There's something so satisfying about trying to unwind at this time of the year, but still being able to absorb aviation stuff in a Christmas setting.
Yeah, and you know, actually, why does every Christmas movie have an airport part? Love Actually also has a huge airport component.
Yeah. So
the airports, Okay, wait. Can we just talk about this?
Yeah.
As Av Geeks.
By the way, hold on. Welcome, guys, to the episode. Oh, that's I'm Dan. Dan. I'm Alex. Okay, let's continue.
Welcome to On Air. I'm sure all Av Geeks relate to this. Do you watch Love Actually every Christmas?
You said like it was a series. Have I seen the movie Love Actually? Of course, yeah. An iconic Christmas film and definitely a staple.
So you know
my sister will always put it on. Yeah, I know it very well. Yeah.
Good. Because there is one thing. I love that movie, but actually there's two things. The first thing is when Colin Firth lands in allegedly Portugal or something to find his...
Isn't it in Italy?
What's her name? Well, the thing is, it says Marseille Airport. But then...
Marseille is in France. We know this,
exactly.
Listeners.
But when he shows up at Aurelia's family's door, they speak Portuguese and everyone in the city speaks Portuguese. So that's one thing that's confusing. Why is Marseille Airport in there and what's the story there? The second thing that's even more agitating is after the wonderful Christmas performance at the end of the movie, which warms all our hearts, then when, what's her name, Joanna, is going to the airport to move to New York, and the little boy and Liam Neeson think, okay, we're going to go to the airport and get her. What is the time? What time could it possibly be that the performance is in the evening, and then they're driving to Heathrow, Terminal 3, to then fly Virgin to New York? I think the departure time on the gate display... just, it's completely unrealistic. The whole thing frustrates me to no end that they're flying to New York way later than it's actually possible to fly to New York.
See, I don't get frustrated when it's a Christmas film. I get frustrated when you know, all these HBO are investing mega in these great dramas and they're showing an A320 on the outside and a 767 on the inside and the flight deck of a Dreamliner, and then suddenly there's an upstairs and a basement and all the... But the Christmas ones... it is amazing, and it is definitely something to be studied, not by us, but maybe someone else, as to why, what is it about airports and this theme of air travel that pulls on the heartstrings. It is that emotional thing of, isn't it, of either coming together or flying away, that yeah. that is a key core element of all these Christmas movies that are iconic. You, of course, we're not just talking about Home Alone, Home Alone 2 and Love Actually. Home Alone 2, of course, the key scene where Kevin boards the wrong aircraft. Home Alone 1 is Home Alone 1 is what made that famous dash through Chicago O'Hare Airport, you know, the down that corridor where the flags are. That mm-hmm. always pops up some 30 years later now. You have The Holiday, very, very iconic movie yeah. also during Christmas time, and has loads of airport scenes and air travel, very much based on travel, where they swap homes. One goes to Surrey in England to a cottage, and the other one is in...
Goes to your favorite place.
Goes to LA, yeah, where I'm from. And and so it's in... You have airport scenes and all these kind of themes. Die Hard 2... which is set on Christmas Eve, takes place almost completely at the airport. It's okay. funny how they really... I'm sure you haven't seen that, have you?
No,
lucky guess. Anyway, but what I mean is the theme of air travel plays big with Christmas. And we like Christmas and we like air travel. So it's a nice little sweet spot.
It is. It's just... And I love that in Love Actually, that's my favorite Christmas movie. If you haven't watched it, guys, please do. Because the fact that aviation is also the very core of the movie. It's how it starts and it's how it ends with the arrivals hall at Heathrow Airport. Whenever I
and they're actually inspired. You know, do you remember the T-Mobile?
The state of the world.
I think do you remember about... the T-Mobile advert?
No.
Oh, sorry, my phone's ringing. Sorry about that.
I thought you were playing the ad.
No. do you remember the T-Mobile advertisement of Welcome Home, where they did a flash mob of a choir and people singing in the arrivals hall at Terminal 5 years ago? Yeah. It was beautiful, it was emotional, and it was very much Love Actually inspired. Yeah.
Yeah.
The arrivals hall is an amazing place.
It is. Don't you wish that... I wish that like there would really be training to get airport staff into the holiday mood, because can you imagine how nice it would be if everyone just could like try to spread a bit of Christmas cheer? I mean, this should go for passengers too, but that would just
be such a nice vibe. It would be a nice vibe, but I also feel that you are quite an animated American European, right?
Yeah.
And so you're very much like me. We would enjoy that. Okay, I feel that memo was sent at British Airways last year. Okay, I'm not sure about this year. And they ended every announcement when you landed. So I remember I flew BA on December 3rd and on a short haul flight. And when we landed, they said, blah, 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 please take care with your overhead belongings. We were taxiing to the gate to arrive. And they said, and on behalf of everyone across British Airways, we wish you a truly magical Christmas. And aww. All the plane reacted the same way. They were like, Christmas is December 3rd. What are they talking about? Oh, how American. It was also, and I was like, God. Can't we just enjoy it? For the first exactly. time ever, BA have told their passengers Merry Christmas. And all the women around me and the guys wanted to talk about how ridiculous and goodness me, God, was that necessary? Ugh. And all this, and I thought, oh my God, this is why it doesn't... They're their own worst enemy, you know? This is why it doesn't work.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Let us
enjoy. Well, I liked it, even if it was December 3rd, which is quite early. It's still December, and December is the month for it, so you're not going to say it any other time of year.
I think it works for me. I think I've also said this on the podcast before, but because of all the movies set... Or I don't know, just something about Heathrow makes it feel like the Christmas airport for me. Like
yeah,
I think
but historically, yeah, but now it's terrible. Like you're saying that because you don't go to Heathrow at Christmas. It's so
I'm
bad
going this year.
Yeah, well, you can update us. But seriously, I mean, that's so lazy. It will be January 15th, and the Christmas trees are all still up.
Oh my God, did you see the viral video on social media comparing all the Christmas tree lightings and then London?
How pathetic was London's Trafalgar Square Christmas tree?
Sad.
It was a reel that has gone viral. I'm sure it was on TikTok a week ago because we're behind on Instagram, aren't we? But it was a reel that went viral, and it started off in Rockefeller Plaza. Is that right?
Yeah, Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center. And then after that, it moved to Warsaw.
Like, even ran. Yeah, it was someplace where Warsaw. You wouldn't expect. You
know? Yeah. And then after Warsaw, it showed like this ridiculous tree in Trafalgar Square in London. And it was just embarrassing because why are they unable to just, you know, do something decent? I don't know. I don't want to end up in a vicious cycle of complaints for it. But Heathrow used to also look, I remember being a kid and traveling around Christmas time, and it used to look amazing. And even now, the evidence of just the cost cutting and the basic and the, you know, and also nothing says, you know, Christmas like one tree that they've put outside the terminal, which is not even a tree. It's just like a plastic thing lit up, like plastic spiral lit up, of which there are about 15 staff members huddled around it smoking. Merry Christmas from Heathrow Airport.
Yeah, you know, I also get a lot of Christmas vibes from Helsinki Airport. I must say,
I get Christmas vibes from Helsinki Airport when we land in August.
True. It's always Christmas there. Yeah. It really is, because they have the whole Lapland theme.
They're the official airline of Santa, are they not?
Yeah, they are, in partnership with Santa. Santa also, speaking of him, he came early this year with a very satisfying story where Lufthansa finally got a little taste of, you know, a little lesson of don't try to be as annoying as you can, because, you know, Lufthansa does some things great. We don't just want to hate on them. But this is a story from, let me see, it's over a week old now, but I'm sure some of you guys read this, about how a Lufthansa passenger was flying from Greece to Saudi Arabia via Germany. He was a Hon Circle member, which is the highest status you can possibly earn on Lufthansa and requires an extraordinary amount of spend and flying. This is, it's not a normal status. It is something that very, very few people have that is extremely difficult to earn and makes him one of the most valuable passengers of this airline. So he's flying to and from Saudi Arabia, or to Saudi Arabia from Greece. On his return leg, a family member becomes sick in Germany. So he needs to fly from Riyadh to Düsseldorf instead of returning to Athens, but he's still taking the flight from Riyadh to Frankfurt. So on the flight, a flight attendant is trying to be nice, asks him about his trip, and he mentions what has happened. So instead of saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, you have a sick family member. I hope you get there safe with no problems," this flight attendant, which I will say is not too surprising on this airline, thinks, actually, I'm going to report this to the airline because this passenger is breaking our fare rules. This is not allowed and we should get him in trouble, even though he's one of our most valuable passengers.
This is messed up. Go on.
It is messed up. So just to round off this story, a week later, the passenger receives a letter, official letter from Lufthansa, demanding that he pay the fare difference for the ticket he bought from Athens versus ending the trip in Düsseldorf, which was 414 euros. So his ticket was 551 euros, but in the end, the ticket that the itinerary he ended up taking cost 965 euros. Keep in mind, he still had to pay for the flight from Frankfurt to Düsseldorf, which is separate. He was given 2 weeks to make the payment by Lufthansa. So the passenger, in his role as Santa, went to court instead to challenge Lufthansa on this. And what happened, Alex?
Go on.
Oh, okay. You want me to continue?
I do.
So basically, let me see here. Just 4 days before this court hearing, Lufthansa suddenly chose to withdraw. I wonder what information they uncovered that made them not want to, meet this case in court. But still, thankfully, Germany's Federal Court of Justice ruled on the case and decided that Lufthansa is not allowed to charge people or put them in any trouble for skipping flights ever again if their flights originate in, let me see, it's Germany and Austria. So it's those countries specifically, but we could argue that this applies.
And that's because of the kind of legislative power. That's why it's been able to, not because it's only passengers from there. That's a court thing, not a consumer thing. But this sets a fantastic precedent. How petty of those crew members. What I couldn't believe when I read this, but hearing you say it out loud now, this is why I want you to tell the full story, is just insane. How could that have been a priority a loyal passenger?
Not only a loyal passenger, the most loyal passenger you can imagine. If I were the CEO of that airline, I would say, thank you, cabin crew, for bringing this to my attention. You are fired because you are ratting out one of our most valuable customers when we should actually be trying to make that customer happy. So that's number one. Then the fact that over 414 euros for an air, that's one ticket on an airline that operates thousands of flights a year with, you know, hundreds of thousands of seats, if not millions. So for 414 euros now, for all Lufthansa flights going forward, and this will also affect Condor and other airlines in Germany and Austria, passengers, according to a court ruling, are allowed to skip any flight they want. So you can now fully legally in Germany and Austria do what we call hidden city ticketing. So the premise of this, it is the premise of this law is that, quote, your circumstances have to change between when you book the ticket and when you're traveling, which no one's going to challenge that. No one's going to be able to prove that. But let's say
circumstances change every day. I was expecting my friend to come over at 1:00. He came at 2:00. Circumstances just changed.
And let's say, you know, Lufthansa famously is one of the most greedy airlines in Europe. Their fares to or from Germany, specifically their fares within Germany, are astronomical, so unnecessarily expensive because they control the market. So now let's say you find a much cheaper business class ticket from Oslo, for example, where Lufthansa is very cheap, but you live in Frankfurt. Oh, well, okay, I'll fly up to Oslo. I'll save 2,000 euros on my business class ticket. I'll fly down to Frankfurt, then I'll fly to Hong Kong, then I'll fly back to Frankfurt. But oh, wait, my circumstances changed, so I'll just stay in Frankfurt and I'll fly to Oslo. Thank you very much. I just saved 2,000 euros, and Lufthansa now, because of their pettiness, cannot do anything about it.
To think that this would all have started because of the petty actions of a few individuals on board is staggering. What, I mean, this, if there were ever a tables have turned moment, it was this. And the fact that this now sets a precedent for passengers going forward as well, to be able to use this with the knowledge that it is now fine to do something that airlines lost sleep about, is hilarious. This is, I would say, a win for the consumer, but not least, not that we would, you know, we champion airlines, we want them to be profitable, we want them to have decent revenue, and we recognize that the investments benefit passengers in the long run. At the same time, Lufthansa Group, you don't need, you know, we've spoken extensively throughout the seasons of how profitable they are, but also the basically the fact that they don't do much with it and that benefits the consumer. But other than raise fees, you know, raise the price of fares on routes that are absolutely not worthy of those kind of figures, and to treat anyone, regardless to their loyalty, in this way. And remember as well, this also took me to another area, which is that, you know, this idea that everyone is traveling for a holiday and some people begrudge that. And it's just the most stupidly simple, pathetic kind of mentality to have that if you're in an airport or you're on board, it's because you're going on holiday and it's okay because it means you're going on holiday. That is simply not the case. There were two passengers sat in front of me on a Rome flight recently, and they boarded and they were absolutely no fuss, silent. They, you know, put their bag in the locker above and sat. They didn't speak to each other. They didn't speak to crew. One of them was leaning against the window. The other one was kind of against the headrest. Just really, really, I don't know, you picked up a quiet, kind of somber vibe. And when the aircraft landed in Rome and was taxiing, they were both very quietly sobbing. And it was just, you know, again, that is so sad because you know, who God only knows the reason for that travel and why they were both in that way and so on. But it is an important reminder, I think, a worthy reminder to everyone that air travel, and I say to everyone in the industry, air travel is way beyond holidays. As you know, I'm constantly going on about that for people to remember, be aware of. Because look at this individual. I mean, you know, he's traveling with purpose and for a reason. And yet the crew are trying to play a game to F him over for no obvious reason other than it was something that they wanted to do themselves. It's just really, really, really bad. I remember, Dan, one time at security at Heathrow, this was just when the pandemic started. I was going through with the family and the liquids bag was not fully sealed, but was like three quarters of the way sealed. I mean, something's tiny and ridiculous. Okay. Like it was closed. And I think it had popped open slightly to allow, you know, air into it as it had rested into the tray to go through security. And this aggressive security agent shouted, "You need to close the bag that your liquids are in." So I walked back over. Literally, you know, the sandwich bags with the thing?
Yeah,
literally just, you know, fastened it with one little motion between my two fingers. And I said to her, "You don't need to shout." And she said, "No, I can do what I want. You're all right. You're going on holiday now." What?
Oh my God.
Excuse me? Firstly, we were not going on holiday. How dare she? Secondly, the fact that that is on your mind at 4 o'clock in the morning in a busy hub airport, I would understand if it was a TUI charter holiday flight and she was, you know, hating the world. But the fact she did that then, I mean, that's just ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. So I don't want to dwell too much because I want to have a nice positive episode. But yeah, it's a worthy reminder.
Anyway. Exactly. So we did get a little Christmas gift here. At least people traveling to or from Germany and Austria got a bit of a Christmas gift. So we have a few little fun things we want to spice up this episode with, don't we?
God, I don't know. Do we? You tell me. You have not run any of this by me, and now I'm thinking I'm going to call HR. Go on.
Well, we want to do, you know, a few years back, I think in 2023, we did a fun little session of Would You Rather Airline Edition, but it was definitely an emphasis on, let's say, lower quality airlines. So you had to choose between two airlines that you wouldn't necessarily want to fly from the start. But this year, in an effort to focus on the bright side, we want to do a Would You Rather Good Airlines Edition or even specific products. Okay. So, for example, let me start out here, Alex. Would you rather fly? We need to have like a route in mind here to help people out. So, let's say you're going from London to Sydney. Let's start with this because there's so many airlines we can compare. So,
okay.
Would you rather fly Singapore Airlines
or... I do like Singapore Airlines.
Singapore Airlines or Qatar Airways. I'll just put, I feel like these would be your two top choices. So which would you choose?
I would go for Qatar because although I prefer the chicken satay on Singapore Airlines, okay, I feel that a route that long requires Wi-Fi. And therefore, Starlink would make me Starlink. And isn't that interesting? See, because I see those both airlines at the top of that game, both with incredible products. Okay, the dine on demand on Qatar could sway me a bit more there as well. But actually, these days it would come down to the fact that I couldn't go to Australia with no Wi-Fi. And Singapore Airlines' Wi-Fi is patchy or whatever. You know, it's just not. I refuse anything now except Starlink in terms of to acknowledge the existence of onboard Wi-Fi. You've either got Starlink or you don't have it. Even if you claim to have it, it's not going to work. So yeah, I think that would be the choice. Let me ask you, would you rather spend, and I guess this is just to learn more about your personality really, when this all these years later, would you rather spend Christmas, okay, in a snowy Winter Wonderland-y style, huskies outside, Helsinki style log cabin with the fire on and your family around you? Or would you rather spend Christmas in the Maldives, having flown something super beautiful, first in business class, then a seaplane on Transmaldivian, an overwater villa, which I know you spend half the year in anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so what would you rather for this season?
I thought this was aviation, but I'll entertain this question.
Well, it's travel as well. I'm widening it. Okay, go on.
All right. I mean, of course, for Christmas, you have to choose the wintry one. I can't get into the Christmas spirit if it's sunny and hot. I don't understand. I mean, if you grew up in Australia or the Southern Hemisphere, fine.
Thoughts are with you, but
yeah, no, I would choose Finland or even Sweden 100% of the time for Christmas specifically. What about you?
I think Christmas in the log cabin on Christmas Day and then Boxing Day, I'm out of there.
Okay,
straight to the Maldives. Would you rather have unlimited lounge access for a year, okay, or unlimited?
Making it up as we go.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking unlimited lounge access for a year, or instead unlimited
to any lounge I want.
To any lounge you want except the airline first class ones. There we go. So
that sucks.
Okay. Or would you rather have unlimited everything else? And that's why I took a big pause. Says everything else perk, meaning unlimited priority, unlimited luggage allowance, unlimited seat reservations, unlimited all those ancillary revenue extra bits.
So we're thinking like when you're booking a business class ticket and it says your ticket includes this and this and this.
Yes.
It would basically be, and are we saying that if I chose lounge access, I would not get any of the other things? And if I chose the...
So you have to board last with economy group five. You have to go on.
You know that even to start with, I'm becoming more and more anti-lounge. I rarely care about the lounge. So 100%, I would choose more luggage, free seat selection. I really, there's very few lounges I care about. One little rant I want to have. Can we talk about the fact that there's this like narrative in the frequent flyer community about how getting like a free massage or facial, like a 15-minute free massage, is something that makes an airline lounge amazing? Because of course I appreciate it, but when you think about the people who are flying first class, the people I know who pay for first class, they couldn't care less if they get a free, you know, at back massage worth $20. They're paying like $10,000 for their ticket. You think that's going to sway them?
It's insane that so many airline teams still think, forget the massage things for a minute, but you know these like tacky little extras that they think are going to sway the premium traveler. If that passenger has just paid X amount, they are not interested. The main thing, sometimes people forget, the most valuable thing is truly time in that scenario. No one voluntarily wants to be at the airport 2 or 3 hours before. And so
to get a free 15-minute massage that you can get if you wait 4 hours on the wait list.
Who cares? Or instead, you know, that passenger will arrive to their destination, check into the Waldorf Astoria and get a 90-minute massage that will be a proper one in the spa at the hotel and not in the lounge where, you know, 2B was just in there as well. And it was like a 15-minute quick thing, tapping their face and that's it, you know. So I do remember being 15 years old and being in the Six Senses co-branded Etihad Lounge at Heathrow Terminal 4 where, do you remember that time?
I never flew Etihad in that time.
You were in school. And a lady was coming around and it was before the morning flight and she was begging passengers, oh, but it would be really good. Or we'll just do a back massage or a face massage.
While you're sitting there,
just
right?
Just 50 minutes. So she was, while you're sitting there, and everyone was saying, no, no, no. And it was like, no, I don't want that. I'll do that when I feel like it or when I want it and blah, blah, blah. Or I'll make it known to walk around and try to upsell it despite it being free. So, you know, fair enough. She wanted something to do. It's her job. But yeah, those little things that don't really matter.
I mean, that's really one thing. But like, the Air France La Première lounge, which everyone raves about to no end, and a lot of people will say is the best first-class lounge in the world. When I flew La Première, the flight I moaned the most about last year, I get to the lounge and I tell them, yeah, I'm interested in the facial because you got a 30-minute facial. And they go, oh, you didn't pre-book?
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
No, I didn't pre-book. Okay, let's see if we can get it for you. Keep in mind, I had a 5-hour layover And he's like, probably might not be possible. I'm like, are you kidding? I scheduled this long layover specifically to try everything in the world's most expensive first class. And you're telling me I need to pre-book this random facial.
It's insane. No. That always makes me laugh when you go to airports and they ask you, is it for takeaway? Well, yes, of course it's for takeaway. I can't
You don't even
here.
Have tables like, at this restaurant.
By definition, all of us here are takeaway. Even if I'm going to sit briefly, there's only so long I can sit because we are all leaving, all of us. Like,
yeah.
So it's funny. It's, exactly. It's the quirks of air travel and an airport. Would yeah,
so
you
wait,
rather,
let me ask you this.
Go on.
I think we've done something similar, but would you rather... take a overnight flight in the best seat,
okay,
an airline's best business class seat, let's say,
okay,
or a daytime flight in their worst business class seat? Let's say it's like a really short, like a 6-hour overnight flight or a 6-hour daytime flight.
Well, overnight flight in the best seat, of course, so that then I could sleep well. And
Even if it's only a 6-hour flight and then you're a bit messed up the next day.
I know, because you are messed up when you arrive first thing in the morning. And then for me, I don't know about you, but for me, it creeps up on me really suddenly in the afternoon. So you know those overnights where you leave, let's say like you leave New York at, 11, let's say, and then you land at Heathrow and it's 7 in the morning, okay? At 7:30 a.m. I'm fine. I feel well rested. My Whoop says I slept very well. You've got the Oura ring. I've got the Whoop, but I've had the Whoop for quite a few years. You've had the Oura ring for 5 minutes. And there's also a fire risk there, Dan. I don't know if I told you about it on the last episode.
Did
I tell
you? Anyway.
Anyway. So there is as well with Whoop.
What? No, to answer the question, or let's talk about overnight from New York.
So let's say, 7 a.m. land, 7:30, I'm fine. 8 a.m., I'm like, I slept really well. And I'm like, who's up for some morning emails and breakfast, right? And then 9, 10, at 11, I'm like, the first yawn happens at 11, right? Then 11:02, I'm like, isn't good.
You're
right?
Making
because
me
it's only 11.
Yawn. Stop doing it.
Right.
You're going to cause
12,
a
12, I start thinking, God, I think I'm tired. Okay. 1, 2, and 3 p.m. I am gone. I mean, that's it. I am doing everything I can. I have a rule. I cannot and must not sit. If I sit, I will gently lean to one side, my eyes will close, and then I'll wake up confused. I'll think I'm 12 again and in school. I'm like, that ultimate delirious state. I just have to push through. The days are short as it is. I never want the days, I always want more hours in the day. And yet on those days, the landing days after the overnights, including when you have the best seat that the airline has on offer, it's 5 p.m. and I'm like, please be 7 so that I can go to bed. So, I would still take the overnight.
I
would still take the overnight. Yeah, I would.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay.
That's the only thing that can make me choose the overnight if it was, let's say, a flight where you had the option of flying a narrow body without lie-flat seats or an aircraft with lie-flat seats. That would make me choose the overnight, but otherwise no way. I would always choose the worst seat.
This ties in with what your plans are, all being well, for the new year. And of course we wish you the best with that. And I realize me saying this now sounds like you're leaving us. You're not. I'm referring to the fact that Dan and Oscar are going to move, and you're going to announce where you're moving to soon, because I think this has been the longest drawn out saga ever that nobody even remotely knows. Some people do care, but still, God, you guys have milked this. But anyway,
I mean, it's hard to decide. It really is hard. We still go back and forth, although we're nearing a decision. So
indecisive, and you've made Indecisive a brand, and you do reels about it and TikToks. And anyway, I can't skewer you because we have to be nice on this episode. But would you rather, for the rest of your life, live in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere? Answer that, and then I have a follow-up question.
Oh my God, are you trying to get a hint as to where we're moving? I was about to answer that. But if I disregard where we're moving, mm-hmm. I would have to say the Northern Hemisphere. Although the Southern Hemisphere has some of my favorite places in the world, there's just more places in the Northern Hemisphere.
There's just more places. That's so funny. A kid asked me recently, like a family member, distant family member, she said to me, if everything's on this side of the earth, what's on the other side? I was like, what do you mean the other side? They're like, well, for example, from America to Australia, what's on that side? I was like, water.
Nothing.
Yeah. Her eyes went so big. She's like, what? I said, yep. Yeah. I said, yep. Yeah, it's just all on this side. Everything's on this side.
I love that curiosity. She's curious about the world. That's so cool.
Also, for a kid to be able to comprehend the other way. So, for example, America to Australia, knowing that typically a Western kid like her is going to think from left to right and a 2D map that, you know, they've got in their geography class. I admired the, you know, respect for the fact that the earth is a sphere. God, that comes up a lot on this podcast, doesn't it? About the earth being round.
The fact that the earth is in fact round.
That's true.
Yeah. A quick story about my little nephew, not quite nephew, but he's like my nephew. We FaceTimed him and he was asking us, he's 2.5. And he asked us, have you ever been to Australia? And we said, yes. How do you know about Australia? We're thinking he lives in Sweden. He goes, so have you seen koala bears? Aww. And we go, yes, we have. And then we go, you know, your mom has lived in Australia. And he looks over at his mom, my cousin, and he just shakes his head and he continues the conversation with us. He's like, no, she hasn't. That's not possible.
Yeah, kids don't think that adults lived before they were born, right?
Exactly. Here's a bit of a tough one, in my opinion. Would you rather, assuming that every flight was operated by the A380 and the A380 is going to be around forever, would you rather...
Wouldn't that be great?
Would you rather only ever fly the A380 again or never fly the A380 again but be able to fly every other aircraft type?
Very difficult question.
Mm-hmm. You have to choose.
I think I'd rather fly only the A380 again forever.
I love that response. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, it's special. Come on. It's like the others are great, but that's special.
It is.
Yeah, I would do. And what about you? Same?
I mean, the same, especially if airlines keep refreshing cabins and stuff, then there's no reason not to fly it. It's just so lovely.
I was thinking back to this year and some of the highlights, specifically not just with the podcast, but also things that we've done. Definitely one of the highlights of the year for me was our Asia trip. I mean, mm-hmm. the trip where we went to Seoul for the big unveiling of the rebrand of Korean Air, the first in several decades, and the fun that we had running around South Korea and then North Korea, but we won't talk about that on the podcast. And then after that, kidding. And then after that, we flew on Singapore's 787-10 to Singapore. And mm-hmm. that was also fun. And we watched that movie of Trump when he was a kid,
Apprentice.
And we had good food and we had the crew warning us about how there was going to be no meal service. And it was the smoothest flight of our lives, thank God. but that trip was hilarious. We had great company. We had Nikki Kelvin was there in Seoul, Sam Chui. We had friends who are local there, Jensen,
which you guys might know from YouTube as well.
Yeah, he's great, really fun, and also did a lot of introductions for us. And also just the fun of running around that echo and the buckets, the mountains of caviar. That was a funny trip.
Now you're just rubbing it. There was so much caviar, we didn't know what to do.
That's why we liked it. but it was, you know, that was comical itself, how much caviar there was. It's ridiculous. But also the crazy taxi drivers is what made me think of this the other day. Because that, I mean, you know, Seoul is a big city. And some of those journeys were just you know, thank God we're okay, but also the comedy of us taking, do you remember what we were doing with his phone?
With the driver.
With the driver's phone. We were taking photos from behind of what he was typing, because he was aggressively typing while driving. And we were like telling him, can you get off of your phone, please? Can you stop being on your phone on this 8-lane motorway? Can you stop texting, please? And we were playing it on Google Translate. But that wasn't the funny part. The funny part was when we started taking photos of his screen and translating what he was saying, who he was texting. And he was texting a passenger who was like, I've been waiting 15 minutes. Where are you? And he's like, I'm almost there.
He was in such a rush.
Yeah. And we were 40 minutes away from the airport. Yeah. And he's promising the guy that he's just coming up the ramp now. And I was like, what a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. So here's a, just inspired by that, another would you rather. Would you rather live in a city where the airport is an hour out of the city, but it's like the best airport in the world, or a city where the airport is very close to the center? I'm trying to think where that's the case in a massive, I mean, it's kind of squeezed in between everything in Dubai, for example, for now. Would you rather live where you're 15 minutes from an airport that sucks, but you're close, or an hour drive from an airport that's amazing?
An hour, because I don't think an hour is unreasonable. Do you not believe that? I feel like the global standard is that when you get in a car from the airport and you're heading to your hotel, the global standard is when you open Google Maps, it's between 40 to 60 minutes. Anything more than 60 minutes, I'm always like, hello, what?
We need to talk to Paris. There it's like 2 hours at some time.
Yeah, but that's
day.
Because of traffic. That's not really good distance. Yeah. I'm talking about distance. I know that if we're going to arrive into Paris after 4:30 p.m., it's going to be gridlock. And you just have to embrace that and make sure you go to the bathroom before.
I mean, then you should honestly take the train. In situations like that, you have to lean toward taking the train, in my opinion, even if you have a lot of luggage and whatever. But I think for me, you know, this is something that goes into where Oscar and I consider to live, because living close to an airport, not having to worry about it taking 2 hours if there's an accident on the road and traffic is super bad. You know, I like, in theory, thinking I could get if there's something happens and I need to get out on the road right here and walk, I can do that and still somehow get to the airport.
That's true.
I love that. Versus knowing that you're so far away, if anything happens, you're screwed. It's just, I'd rather be in a, you know, older, less comfortable, glamorous airport. As long as, you know, it's not like we were saying about Lisbon, that the lines are 2 hours long. That's a deal breaker. But just design-wise and feature-wise, yeah, I'll go for old and ugly over new but far away.
Just a quick thought as you were talking. Have you ever flown on Christmas Day?
Yeah, because in Sweden, Christmas is celebrated on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
So I often flew on Christmas Day as a kid.
And there are so many that do. And I always wonder that people have asked me before if, you know, for example, let's say a holiday airline, so a leisure airline like I don't know, Jet2, let's say, or TUI, should they, where their staff members are all based in the UK and they're all, you know, they're flying on holiday routes that you can fly on Christmas Eve or Boxing Day, should they wind down the operation on December 25th for their staff members to be able to be with their loved ones or spend Christmas Day however they want to spend it? Or do you think that air travel just owes it to the world to keep going? And because, for example, I sometimes think that, you know, I feel sorry for the crew that are rostered to fly from London to, let's say, for example, to Paris, okay, on one of the many sectors on Christmas Day where the flights are really, really empty, okay, especially, you know, 11 a.m. London to Paris. And although airlines do reduce their schedules to reflect that weakening in demand, should there be a more conscious effort to say, maybe you don't need flights until 5 p.m. on Christmas Day on routes like, for example, London and Paris, where it's so well served, it's so easy, you can even do the drive if you want. What do you think?
Well, I mean, both Lufthansa and SAS very largely cuts back their schedule on the 24th and 25th. So it's still very common up where my family is from. Maybe not so much in other parts of Europe, but I think it's tough because if there is demand, I think ultimately the airlines will fly. I guess the thing is that there's just not that much demand, so they decide to cut down, don't you think?
Now, in the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of not cutting down, but in the spirit of giving, okay, I would like to know if I can expect a much-awaited Christmas present from your side this year. It is something that you asked me about a few weeks ago, and I did say to you to do your best, and there is context here, which is one of the highlights of the year, which is the Asia trip. And so I'm just wondering if you'd be so kind as to give me an update on the status of said gift.
Is the said gift the item that one of us was frantically pumping into a water bottle before we were checking out of an unnamed hotel?
That sounds shocking. Listen to what you just said. Listen to how you just said that. So, one of us was awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, standing in, and my room was next to your room, but one of us was standing at 2 a.m., with an empty water bottle and a Byredo designer soap, aggressively pumping the soap into the water bottle.
Because it was mounted on the wall, hence you could not
the
pour
soap
it
was mounted
into the
on
the
wall.
Bottle.
Yeah, so you couldn't take it. So you're aggressively one of us was aggressively emptying it into the water bottle to take to one of our respective homes. One of us homes. Okay. Because this hotel had the beautiful Byredo soap, which is...
Baldafreak.
Yeah, Baldafreak. What a scent. One of my favorite perfumes.
Why did you pronounce it like da freak? Like D-A
It is D-A. It's D apostrophe.
No, D-A space F-R-E-A-K. That's...
No, it's
Baldafreak. Byredo da freak.
Okay, anyway, that one, right? So... That soap is delicious. I don't mean to consume. I mean, the smell, right? Okay. It might taste good as well. And so the hotel has it in the shower as a body wash and in the bathroom, blah, blah, and as the hand soap. And you set this awful precedent where you told me that this soap, which retails at over $100, okay, was somehow available for purchase in New York for a tenner or for $10.
12.
Is that right? Well, that's what you told me, 12. So you tell me this based on, and did you buy at that time?
So the hotel sold it. I think we bought like maybe 5 bottles because my mom was with us. She wanted some. So we got 5 bottles for like $60 of soap that should be $100 per bottle. But
now,
since then,
the
context
some,
here.
Like, black market shit.
It probably is. It probably is. But the context here is that every intercontinental... Oh, God, now I'm really outing...
No, you said too much. Oh, no.
Okay, wait. Every hotel from this brand that I have stayed at since I went to New York that time when I bought it all, I've asked, do you sell it? Because we want to buy soap. You know, it's a good gift, for example. But no other hotels sell it. So it's always a no. And that included this hotel that we were staying at on our Asia trip. We asked them, do you sell this? And they said, no.
Well, I didn't ask, do you sell it? I picked up the phone when they did that nice call because what was it? What was I associated with because of your status in the room?
Oh, yeah, because I booked you the room and I'm diamond. So they called you to thank
you. So I was also a diamond on that trip. Yeah. And they were saying, hello, Mr. Macheras, is your valued loyalty for a diamond member? And I was like, yeah. They said, we're just wondering how your stay is going. I said, my stay is going great. It's really nice, blah, blah, blah. But one thing that would be great is I would like to, can I just get just like a few bottles of that soap, please, for purchase? I understand it's retailing at $12 despite it being in the stores for $150. Is that right? So she was like, Let me see and come back to you, because it's, and she said, it's really important that as a Diamond member, you know, we take your requests and blah, blah, blah.
Oh my
and
God.
No, it really was like that. She was really going above and beyond. She said, you know, and the fact that you've had this request, I'm going to personally attend to it. And I said, I would really appreciate that. You know, that's why I stay at this brand of hotels, to be honest. It's all because of this. It's because of this wonderful service, I said, and I wouldn't stay anywhere else. And this is no word of a lie. This is how the call went. And I was cracking up. So then she was like, I'm going to come back to you, blah, blah, blah. She said, do you want me to call 501 or 502? Now, I was 501. He was 502. Yeah. I was like, no, no, no. Call 501. I'm handling it. I'll be here. You just let me know, because I thought the last thing I want is them telling me that they've got three bottles left and he swipes it, right? I made the call. I'm having it. So they said, okay, we'll come back to you. Okay, go on. You continue the rest.
So lo and behold, they get back to you and you tell me that this hotel doesn't sell the soap. What do you mean? You told me I could buy it, but I can't get it
here. She said that no hotels sell it, that there's not, they have an official store online where you can order things like the bath mat, which is $100 on the official store.
Yeah.
And it's not on there. So yep.
Little did Sharon know.
Okay, her name was not Sharon, and you know it.
I'm just
okay.
making something up.
Don't make her now someone from, you know, from the West. Okay, go on.
Sharon is actually a common name in the country where this occurred. But
okay.
Anyway.
Okay, go on.
So lo and behold, Alex could, oh, the person who wanted the soap could not
Excuse
get
me.
The soap. So said yes. person okay. needed to resort to acquiring
no, you did your
it
own
by
call.
Other means.
You did your own call.
Right, okay, and they told me the same thing.
Yes, because you desperately wanted it, right? So because yes. you desperately wanted it, and then basically the lovely team, they were so nice, going above and beyond, had told us the night that we were checking out, no, there's nothing they can do, and blah, blah, blah. Well, now we're standing there staring at this soap in the bathroom, right? It's there just looking at us, right?
Too
it's massive.
Many full bottles of it.
Full What's bottles. That? And that is it's hoisted up to the wall that you can't get it out. Not that we would, because then it would be charged to Dan's credit card. So it wasn't the worst thing for me because he did the booking anyway. So I was thinking, do I put his Diamond membership under threat? No, I don't want to do that. I need him for the mm-hmm. podcast. He does add value to it and blah, blah, blah. So we come back from Universal Studios, which is where I think we spent that day. Or maybe that was the day, maybe it was the last day where we saw your friends, April
now
Lynn
you're,
and the
you're
baby.
You're really narrowing down the options of where this hotel was.
I forgot. Anyway, so then it's really late at night and we're leaving really early in the morning. And one of us knocks on one of our doors and... And is on the second or third bottle, pumping and pumping and pumping this Byredo soap into an empty water bottle, maybe the third one, and continuing to do it and then moving yep. into the shower and doing it. It's nothing I've ever seen before. I was shocked when I walked in. I mean, one of us was.
We enter the bathroom and it's like a crime scene and we go, Mary Alice, what did you do?
Anyway, the long story short in the end is that the beautiful Byredo Balderfreak soap did make it out of that hotel without anyone being hurt, with the container still there hoisted up on the wall, just in other means. We did transport several bottles across continents because Dan had said, I wouldn't have cared if he didn't mentally get me ready for how much great beautiful soap I'll be buying and then giving as gifts and blah, blah, blah. He ruined it. So I said, get pumping. Yeah. And then that's where...
For you.
So anyway,
so now,
my question. Yes.
Yeah, your Christmas gift question.
Yeah. So
as someone who was just in New York.
Yes.
Did I manage to acquire soap on some black market to give you in an official manner? And the answer is, you'll find out next time you see me in person.
Oh, come on. It's Christmas. Come on.
Okay, I'll text you on Christmas with a photo. Either it will be an empty photo of a table or it will be a table with soap on it. But I'll give you a hint. When I told the dear Diamond Ambassador check-in lady, who is my favorite person in New York, that I wanted to buy 20 bottles of Byredo. She looked at me and in a very New York way said, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
God. God bless New York.
So we had to reduce our consumption a little bit, but there might be something for you.
Sincerely hope. I will let you guys know what message I receive from Dan on Christmas Day, and then we'll regroup, we'll be well in the new year, and I'll either be furious with him or my hands will be just smelling amazing, one or the other. So let's see. Dan, have a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all the listeners. Have a great festive period, and wishing you all the best.
We cannot wait to see you in the new year, as always, on air. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.